Good morning. Many of you know me, but for those that do not know me, I'm Jen Wiebe. I'm the children's pastor here, and I had a privilege with many other volunteers to get to know your children this past week, and it was absolutely awesome. It was so incredible, and you will hear parts about the week throughout my sermon. Today, I'll be sharing from Acts 9, 1 to 15, the passage that Carol just read, when Saul experiences this life-changing moment that changed everything. The light turns on in the dark, and everything is viewed differently. It's like being in a cave, in a dark cave, and the light turns on, and everything is viewed different. Well, today our message is titled, That Moment of Impact. We will look at 2 points today. Point number one is, who are you, Lord? And point number two is, what's next? In this past week, our theme, as Pastor Brian already said, has been Cave Quest. We sang about, kids, this one song that I knew was some of your favorite, and we sang it twice this morning. He is the light, 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 light of the world. Well, Saul, in our text today, certainly did not see Christ as the light of the world at all. In fact, he must have had a completely different idea of who Christ was altogether. He had a different view of Jesus because he was persecuting the believers. Kids, if you don't know what the word persecuting means, it's almost like bullying, like really, really bad bullying. In Acts 9:1, it says this, meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus so that if he found any who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he would take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. Oh, he certainly had a view of God, all right. He had a view of Jesus, and it was filled with anger and hostility so much that he threatened murderous threats. He had this view that this is who Jesus is, and therefore I am going to act in this way. And can we blame him if this is who he truly thought Jesus was? This was his idea. And it was dark. It was a dark cave, scary, fear-filled experience of who Jesus was. However Saul viewed Jesus over here did not change who Jesus truly was, who is the light in the dark. No matter how Saul, whatever Saul did, the persecution, the harm, the pain over here did not change the fact that Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. He still loved Saul, even in his sin. Kids, remember that truck? Remember that truck with the battery? I actually have a truck over here in the bag. At VBS, Pastor John brought out this truck. It wasn't this one, but it was a different one. And it had no battery in it. Without the battery, it just doesn't do its purpose or its plan or what it was called to do. In fact, Saul was doing the opposite. He was living in pain and causing pain upon others. And without the battery, it just doesn't work. But Jesus had this plan. So Saul saw Jesus in a dark way, a way that caused him to make choices to hurt people. Now, regardless of Saul's opinion of Jesus, it did not change who Jesus actually is. The Bible says, again, I am the way, the truth, and the life. His dark, cave-like, negative, and nasty view did not change Jesus' love. The Bible says, God is love. This is referenced in John 1, 4-8. God's plans are full of hope. Kids, do you remember day one? Do you remember what the theme was for that day? God gives us hope. God gives us hope. Whether Saul believed it or not, didn't change the fact that Jesus still fully loved him and had a plan for him. Jesus wanted to give him hope. You got it. The Bible verse for day one, O Lord, you alone are my. O Lord, you alone are my hope. You so got it. Christ alone was the hope for Saul. So point number one today, we'll put that one up on the screen. Point number one, who are you, Lord? So we talked a little bit about it, but let's see what the passage says. In verse 2, Saul went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if anyone there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. And as Paul, listen to this part, as Paul neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him, and he fell to the ground, and he heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I find this part actually quite amusing. He said, who are you, Lord? Now, he didn't say, who are you, Bob? He didn't say, who are you, Martha? No, he said, who are you, Lord? He had this perception of who he had thought in the dark, in the cave-like mindset of who he had always thought Jesus to be. But here is a light that flashes down from the heavens. And he says, who are you, Lord? Do you think maybe, this is just my thoughts, maybe he recognized the need to say, who are you truly, Lord? Saul and his traveling companions see the light, but maybe Saul sees more. He sees the risen Lord, Jesus, in all his glory, and this is referenced in 1 Corinthians 9:1 and 1 Corinthians 15:8. He sees the risen Lord Jesus in all his true glory. So the overwhelming is the sight that Saul falls to the ground. He's recognizing in his heart that there may be more to this Jesus than meets the eye. His view of Jesus is being changed by an encounter of the living Jesus who died and rose again and didn't want him to be living in this cave, in this darkness any longer, because he not only had a plan for Saul, but he had a plan for the people that God would bring into Saul's life and have already been in his life. So again, in verse 5, he says, who are you, Lord? I am Jesus, who you are persecuting, he replies. Saul actually hears the real and living voice of Jesus. Now get up. This is what Jesus says next. This part's priceless. Are you ready? So he hears the voice of God, and then he hears, now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. Let's just pause for a minute. What do you think is filling his mind at the moment? I mean, he sees or this voice of light comes down and he says, now get up and go. Let's think about that for just a second. Okay, well then what happens next in the text here in verse 7? It says, the men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. I brought a blindfold here, kids. So when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. Now, let's just imagine. Kids are good with imaginations. Grown-ups, you think you can come here with me? He could see nothing. He was in the dark. What kind of emotions do you think he might have been experiencing? Fear, yeah, maybe fear was one of them. What else do you think? Just, yeah, maybe he was scared for sure. Good answer, good answer. Well, we don't really know exactly, but we do know he was having an encounter with Jesus himself. So talk about being in the dark. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days, he was blind. And he did not eat, and he did not drink. anything. He was blind. And in his physical blindness, he was asked by the Lord to go into the city, and he would be told what to do. Kids, do you remember going to KidVid Cinema? Some of you I know wore the blindfold, and Josh spun you around, and you needed to know what direction was the window. You remember that part? When you're blind, you don't always know. Yeah, you didn't do that part. Some of you did. You're listening, which is good. So it's hard to find direction when you're doing it on your own strength, right? But we learned on day three, God gives us. Oh, awesome. So Jesus was giving him direction. These 3 days of blindness were probably very significant. There might have been a death or resurrection in the heart of Saul. There might have been some deep, deep realization of who I thought Jesus was over here in the dark in the cave, who I had perceived him to be, and I acted out of that in anger and hostility and persecuting murderous threats. All of a sudden, he had this encounter with a God that loves him. And the song that echoed in my head as I went to sleep last night is that Jesus loves me and he loves Saul. God had changed the way Saul saw him, and Jesus had changed the way I actually saw him. The reason I can preach the sermon with such deep conviction is I haven't always been a believer. Actually, I had a really hard heart and came from a hard past. But I had this encounter with God. The Bible actually came very real to me. And honestly, I have been so changed since, so much that I truly believe that God is with us. So this is the good news. We shared kind of the fallen condition, this hard heart. But the good news is that, yes, he experienced 3 days, but do you remember what happened to Jesus himself when he walked the hill of Calvary? And talk about suffering. Talk about deep, deep pain. But for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that he whoever should believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Ready for point two? So who are you, Lord? Saul has experienced this. Point two, what's next? Well, we already talked a little bit about what's next, but let's get to the text again on verse 5. Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, he replied. Now get up, go into the city, and you'll be told what to do. See, after an encounter and embrace with God, response just seems to be the next step. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision. Ananias, Saul couldn't do it alone. That's part of our journey. We have this deep realization all of a sudden of this is who Jesus really is. I've had this idea all along of who I thought it was. And now I'm realizing, but Saul wasn't alone. God was with him, and he sent believers to also respond to the call of God, to encourage him and to bring him along the way. He needed people to help him. So Ananias says, yes, Lord, he answered. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias. Come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Remember, he's been blind for 3 days. Ananias is also responding to Jesus' work. And even when Saul is walking along the path, he has the others help him in his blindness to walk there. So he is not alone in this journey. We are not alone in this journey. As I was preparing for VBS, God showed me that this is not my VBS. Over and over again, it wasn't about me. It never was about me. And then 2 weeks before VBS, I actually bumped my head really hard. And again, he reminded me, it's about us being together with God's people. And he sent so many people to come and help. And so people were there being called by God, like Ananias or like Saul. Lord, Ananias answered, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name. So Ananias must have been scared, right? He might have been like, why are you calling me to go to him? He's like wicked. He's mean. Don't ask me to. But yet Ananias knew the Lord. He knew who the Lord truly was. And this is what the Lord said to Ananias. Go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. Wow. That's a big job. But we have got a big God who calls and he knows the plans. He knows that there is a hope and a future and he knows what he's doing. And so Ananias goes, and we're going to go to the end of this here. So a lot's happening in this text, and we could take a lot more than 15 minutes to share it. There's a lot happening here. Saul is having a heart change, a battery change in that truck, but it's more than that. It's a heart change. He is recognizing that Jesus loves him. He loves him so much. He loves me so much. He loves you so much. He loves the person to the right of you so much that he doesn't want us to face this pain, these hard decisions, the agony alone. In the Bible, it says, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. In conclusion, when God spoke to Saul shortly after the challenge of blindness and maybe even fear, kids, that you guessed earlier, came upon him, his name actually got changed later to Paul. And Paul experiences the presence of the living God in his heart. And what's really awesome, if you read more, I actually encourage you to read more about this, but if you read more, Paul then faces tons of challenges. I mean, he goes to prison. He gets shipwrecked, he gets a snake bite, there's a house arrest, there's so much going on. But when God is with me, when God was with Paul, he can do anything. All things are possible through Christ who gives him strength, Philippians 3:14. So at camp, kids, you were truly loved by your leaders. They loved you, you could probably tell. And they had fun with you. It was fun jumping in that bouncy castle. It was fun going in the water. And the fun memories will last a lifetime. But knowing that Christ is for us and that he loves us and he's with you no matter where you go, whether you're camp or whether you're walking along a path like Saul to Damascus or maybe to school or family as we're going to work, parents, he has a plan and a purpose for us. And it's not just for us. It's because he loves the people. He loves the world around us. So, two questions at the end of today. Who are you, Lord? Who are you, Lord? And what's next? Maybe what's next is being surrounded by believers that want to help carry you and pray with you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pause before you and we recognize in this moment that you are God. You are a Father who created us and you know everything about us. You know when we sit, you know when we rise, you know what holds me back from knowing you more, you know what holds us back from encountering your presence. And yet, God, you still love us, and you still call us, and you still have a plan for us, and it is good. It's to give us hope, and to give us courage, and to give us direction. And God, Jesus, thank you for giving us love. And you give us power because you are not dead. You are alive and you long for a relationship with us right now. We don't have to wait till we get to heaven to know you, Lord. Your Holy Spirit is with us now and we praise you for that and we thank you for that. And if you're here today and you're having a bit of an awakening, there's something in your heart that says, yeah, maybe the way I've always seen him, maybe it's not as bad as the way Saul was, but maybe there's a part in your heart going, yeah, you know what? Maybe I haven't seen him for the truth of who he is. Feel free to pray with me now. Heavenly Father, I want to know who you really are. There's something in me that wants more, that wants peace, that needs courage, that needs direction. When I saw the kids, Lord, come forward today, something stirred my heart. There's something good in this place. Thank you, God, that you are here. I need you. I need you in my life. And I thank you, Jesus, that you offer forgiveness. Please forgive me now and help me to turn to you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.